Amen. You may be seated. I'm so glad that you're here to worship with us today. I don't know why. I can't give you a reason why this has been going on with me, but this whole week I've been thinking back to when I first came to Harvest Christian Fellowship. It was back in 1995, and I was a lot younger, a lot skinnier, and I had my hair color was a little different. But here's what I remember when I walked in the doors for the very first time. I felt so loved. I felt so embraced. I didn't know anybody. I knew one person. They had hounded me to come. So I came to a meeting at the church. And that for me has never changed in almost 24 years. That this place is so loving, so kind, so warm. And the thing that's been on my heart is, you know, when back then there was like 80 people. And like now there's well over 1,000 people here and that participate regularly in our church, and that's amazing in and of itself. But that presents a challenge. It's hard to just know everybody. And so it's really been on my heart thinking, God, how do we keep it small? And this is not a new thought. We've thought this for years and years. And so, you know, we do life groups where you can meet in people's homes, and we do Bravehearts Men's Ministry, where you can sit around a table and share your heart with and go deeper in relationship. We have our kids, when they're here, they get in small groups. We try to train this into our children, our youth, so we can not just have a Sunday morning experience, which, by the way, is very good for all of us. It's a wonderful experience. Nothing wrong with a Sunday morning experience. It's filling. It's a blessing. It's joyful. It's warm, but we all need to go a little bit deeper in relationship, and that presents a challenge when the church is this big, because, you know, back when there was 80 people, you couldn't hide in any corner or pocket. Everybody knew you were there. Everybody knew your name. So now what I'm trying to say is, let's make sure that we don't just have big church. We have relationships. Because see, I thoroughly and completely believe that the fiber and the fabric of the kingdom, how the kingdom of God works, is through relationships. And so we could have great experience, great worship. We could have a wonderful event. But if we don't develop those relationships, I want to tell you right now, that's when it takes more effort. That takes a little bit of a deeper commitment to connect deeper with people. And I'm so blessed that I've had that my whole adult life. I mean, I kind of was an adult when I got here, and I think I might be getting closer now. And you know what I'm saying? It's supposed to be funny, thank you. I've had those relationships. And I wish, honestly, I wish I could be personally connected with every person who walks in the door. I value each one of you, but the reality is I can't be that close with everyone. So what do we need to do about it? I've got the answer. We all need to take responsibility to connect. Does it take courage? Of course. Is it a risk? Yes, because people are people, and sometimes people hurt. But more than people hurt, they bless. They give, they love, they care for, they make life worth living in community. So I love coming to church every Sunday morning. It's kind of like coming to a family reunion every Sunday morning. I was telling Chase, we were walking through the lobby, and I was saying hi to people and hugging people. I was like, I love it here. It's like the family reunion you want to go to. And I thank God for that. And It's hard for me, because I would like to be sitting right there having a personal conversation with you. I would like to be connected in that way, but we can do that for each other, and we can do it for the sake of the kingdom. So those things were on my heart this week. I really wanted to share that with you guys and say thank you for the way you love me. Thank you for the way you love my family. We all love coming here, and I hope it's the exact same experience for you. And if we all take responsibility, it doesn't matter how big we get, we can stay connected. And even bigger than us having relationships is the vision that Jesus has for us, and it cannot be accomplished outside of healthy, life-giving, sacrificial, individual relationships with other people. So I hope that you can hear that, hear my heart, and take that to heart and that we can continue to connect with one another, because God has amazing things in store for this church. Would you agree with me in that? Let's pray. Amen. Let's pray, and then let's get into this message. God, I want to thank you for every person in this room. I feel close to every one of them, even though I don't know everyone as well as I would like. But God, you know every one of us intimately. You even know the number of hairs on our head. God, you know every intimate detail about us, and you love us even more every moment of our lives. And so for that, God, we just say thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you for loving us, for bringing us all here together, for connecting us, for giving us purpose that's bigger than any one of us can accomplish on our own. Thank you, Jesus. And it's in your holy, awesome, and powerful name I pray. Amen. So we're going to begin a new series today. It's called The Transforming Power of Gratitude. Part number one, unlock your destiny. Psalm 100 verse 4 says this: enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. Gratitude unlocks your destiny. Stay with me. Gratitude opens doors. Gratitude opens hearts. Gratitude changes the atmosphere around you. I want you to understand something, church, that gratitude is an essential element to entering the presence of Almighty God. Let's go right back to our verse, Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter his gates, say it with me, with thanksgiving. What month is this? This is November. This is the month of Thanksgiving. Hey, listen up. Most people are excited about Halloween. Most people are excited about Christmas, and they forget Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is just like a little bump on the journey to Santa Claus coming to town. But I want to tell you, Thanksgiving is my personal favorite holiday. Do you want to know why? Bear with me in my personal opinion, because it hasn't got corrupted by the world. Look, nobody has commercialized Thanksgiving. I hope they never do. Because this is real, this is genuine, this is about having gratitude in our hearts for all the blessings of bounty that our God in heaven has poured out upon this nation. Amen? Come on, Thanksgiving month, we're gonna show some gratitude around here. We're gonna focus on how thankful we are. Jesus has saved me. I didn't deserve it. Jesus has transformed me. I didn't deserve it, but I'm grateful. How about you? Gratitude is an essential element to entering the presence of God. Enter his gates. Can you imagine a big key written across it? Gratitude / thanksgiving. And you put it into the gate of heaven's door and you go, shh. Boom, baby. And I'm in to the presence of Almighty God. Do you see that there? Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. See, once you learn how to enter his presence consistently, guess what's going to happen? He's going to begin to direct your thoughts, because when you get into his presence, he's so real. He's so magnificent. He's so overwhelming that you begin to see who he is and you want to surrender again and again and again. See, I'm thankful today that I have a master whose name is Jesus. And I'm thankful that this Jesus loves me and laid down his life for me. I'm thankful that I can trust him with every decision, with every breath, with every moment of my life. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Once we consistently learn the discipline, the strategy, the steps to enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise, we get into the presence of the Almighty God. Guess what? Then he really can take the wheel. Jesus, take the wheel, right? He can't really take the wheel if you're not in his presence. Do you understand me? I struggle with how to illustrate these things, and I don't want to confuse anybody, but the best illustration I can come up with when it comes to being in someone's presence is, look, I got married in 96, and there's a piece of paper that says I'm legally married to my beautiful wife, Julie. But that paper is meaningless if we're not in the presence of one another. See, I got saved back in 1980, and there's a literally written on paper in heaven in the Lamb's Book of Life, Brad William Snellgrove the First. There's not a second anyway. Thank you for laughing. I appreciate that. It's written. See, what the Bible teaches is once I've met Jesus and surrendered my life to him, received what's it called? The free gift of God, which is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Once he gives the gift, he won't take it away. My name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, but whether I'm in his presence or not is up to me. Jesus has done his part, and he will not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's available. He's here. He's with us. He's inviting. He's welcoming. He's loving. He's forgiving. He's kind. He's good. But whether or not I'm in his presence is up to me. And see, again, going back, I don't want to confuse and get all weird about all the things you could think of here. I'm just talking about relationship and being close to someone. See, I can be married to my wife. We can live in the same house together, but we could literally be strangers in the same house. I regret to tell you that over almost 24 years of ministry, I've learned a horrible lesson. If you don't intentionally come together, you automatically grow apart. And so after tons of marriage counseling and trying hard to help people, what you find is the norm is this. We fall in love and we get married. And then we have kids. Great result. And then if we're not careful, we become a little business called B&J Transportation Service. B&J Food Service, B&J Training Company, Brad and Julie, okay? You know what I'm saying? And we become a business that manages these little munchkins that God gave us. And we get to soccer practice on time, and we go to football games, and we do band, and we do choir, and we do whatever is out there, and we feed 3 square meals a day. And we do all kinds of stuff, and we know how to manage this, even get to church halfway on time sometimes. But just because we know how to manage the life of a little family doesn't mean we're close to each other. Are you with me? See, if gratitude is essential in that relationship, I've got to be grateful for my wife. I've got to speak her language. I've got to say things that draw her in. She has to say things that draw me in so we can be close. The same thing happened with Jesus and us. He has said what he needs to say. He doesn't need to say another thing. In fact, the Bible says that his blood still testifies day after day after day of how much he loves us, how much he invites us, and how forgiving and good he is. But the Bible also teaches that what we need to say back to God is thank you. Thank you, Jesus. I want to enter into your presence. See, once we get into his presence consistently, he can direct the path, thus unlocking our destiny in the kingdom of God. So gratitude unlocks your destiny. Let's look at some definitions. Gratitude. I love what the dictionary does. Gratitude, the state of being grateful. That didn't help, so let's go to the root word. Grateful, to be appreciative or thankful. Let's look at some synonyms. Appreciation, gratefulness, thankfulness. These are simple words. See, gratitude is an attitude. It's a quality. It's a value. It's a virtue. It's a character trait. Stay with me right here. So as believers in Christ, disciples, we should have an attitude of gratitude. Come on, say it with me. Say, attitude of gratitude. I love getting the opportunities I do to study and research and look into things. And so this captivated my attention this week when I started thinking about an attitude. Did you realize that even in the dictionary, the evolution of the word attitude can be defined in Webster's as this, like, attitude. And a lot of people have it. Have you ever heard somebody say, man, they've really got attitude today? Well, I don't think that was the beginning origin, but that's how it's come over time. You know what creates this attitude? Self-centeredness. And so you go, I don't need you. I don't need anybody. People say stuff like, talk to the hand if you don't understand. Attitude. And women are real good at it. I love all the ladies in the house. But guys have their own version. Usually it's attitude. Right? I mean, attitude. That's not what we're talking about. What's the attitude of gratitude look like? There's some humility in that, isn't there? There's some gentleness even. There is some understanding that I'm not the origin of my life. My attitude is, thank you, Jesus, for the very breath that I breathe into my lungs. So show me a dissatisfied or disappointed person, and I'll most likely show you an ungrateful person. You know, the Bible says at least twice, those who put their hope in the Lord, it's literally strong words, will never be disappointed. That verse has really worked on me because I find myself sometimes when the circumstances don't work out the way I want them to, I'm a little bummed out and dissatisfied and disappointed, and everybody who lives around me knows when I'm that way because my frown is not upside down, it's a frown. I'm not smiling, I'm not happy, I'm more critical than I normally am, I'm a little bit edgy. See, when you're disappointed or dissatisfied, what you can automatically recognize is your hope is in something other than the Lord. And if you want to know how to climb yourself out of that hole, that pit of disappointment and dissatisfaction, you know what you need? You need a ladder called gratitude. You need to climb up one step at a time. Thank you, Jesus, that I'm in this pit. Oh, I don't like it in here, but thank you because now I get to exercise climbing up the ladder. It's good for my cardiovascular fitness. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, listen, I want to tell you something. You don't have to be thankful for the circumstances. We're going to get to this in the weeks to come. The Bible says, be thankful, though, in every circumstance. Always give thanks. You're like, well, there's nothing here to give thanks for. Are you still alive? Thank you, God, I'm not dead yet. I might wish I was dead, but I'm still alive and I'm thankful. That's where I'm going to start on my ladder out of the pit of disappointment. Gratitude will take you back onto the plane so you can see what God has before you. Gratitude for the littlest things. Thank you, God, I have a pair of shoes on today. It's not barefoot day for me. Thank you, Jesus. Do you see? It's simple. Thank you, God, for the more important things, like I have a wife and children who love me and I love them. Thank you, God, for my church. Thank you, God, for my friends who haven't left me when I've given them great reason to sometimes. Thank you, God. I'm here and you have a plan for me. Even if I don't feel it, even if I can't see it, thank you, Jesus. You go, well, why does all this matter? I can tell you're pretty juiced up about it, Pastor Brad. Guys, I want to tell you, this has changed my life. You haven't walked in my moccasins, and I haven't walked in yours. But listen up. It ain't all been peachy and rosy over here. How about over there? And in those moments where I was tempted to give up, in those moments where I was tempted to throw in the towel, I was so thankful that I'd been taught the principles of gratitude. In every circumstance, find something to be thankful for, and God will lead you out. It has changed the way I see the world around me. It's helped me value the people that God's put in my path. Gratitude will change everything for the better. You'll become more optimistic. People will want to be around you more. You will be the person people seek out instead of the running away from. Why? Because you have chosen one simple thing. Thank you, Jesus. Gratitude. What's at stake? Well, most likely, if you don't choose gratitude, you'll become cynical. Maybe bitter, resentful, angry, depressed, and ultimately, alone. And I can tell you this for sure. If you choose to be ungrateful consistently over time, you will miss your God-given destiny in this life. Oh, nothing can stop the plans of God. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. That's right, but you can stop the plan of God. There's still such a thing called the free will of man. And God hasn't changed that. You're going to heaven when you die because you accepted Jesus Christ. But whether you live in his presence today is all based on you, not him. He's made the way. He's cleared the sin out. He's put his blood upon the cross and taken away your sins. There's nothing that can stop you from coming into the full presence of God, being anointed by the Holy Spirit, and walking in the power and presence of God. The only thing that can stop you is you. That's why this is so important. Because life is going to tell you, give up, it's too hard. Life's going to tell you, you weren't meant to do that. Somebody else better. No, God, I'm thankful for the breath in my lungs today. I'm going to choose gratitude, and it's going to unlock my destiny. Let's go back to this passage. Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and pray, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. I like reading different versions of the Bible, even like reading paraphrases. And the Message is a paraphrase, but it's so descriptive. It says it this way. Enter with the password. Say it with me. Thank you. Now, parents, you understand. Please and thank you is a big deal. I got to hang out with Kirby and Karis and Grandpa and Uncle last night, no, two nights ago. And that's the most time I've spent with that sweet little doll of a girl. She's busy. Kirby looked tired. But she's learned to do this right here, say please. She can't even speak please. She can do sign language, please. She wanted more food and she'd be like, he kept giving it. I don't know what thank you is, but I think the smile was working for thank you. But as parents, we know we want to teach our kids good manners because we want people to like actually want to be around them. Am I right? What happens if kids don't have manners? Nobody likes them. They're not pleasant. What happens when grown-ups don't have manners? Nobody wants to be around them, and they're unpleasant. That's one side of the story. So gratitude creates this atmosphere around you where people actually want to be around you, but there's something so much greater to the concept. It enters you. It unlocks through the gate. You can step into the presence of God just by saying thank you. That's not hard. But sometimes that feels very difficult. Why? because things didn't turn out the way I wanted them to. I'm not happy with how this is going on. And God, I'm not sure I want to tell you thank you for anything right now. Thank you very much. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter with the password, thank you. I want you to understand, if you'll go back, if you're willing to do this, the whole context of Psalm 100, I'm just taking one verse. There is a divine combination. I remember in junior high, I got a locker at school. And back then, it was really cool to pick out a combination lock that you turn it back and forth. I know teenagers today have no concept of this. They have something on their phone that they put up to it and they're clicking, it unlocks or something, you know. But we had real combination locks. And I remember that was so cool. You had to memorize your combination, right, so you could get into the locker. I remember when I got my first adult job, I got a briefcase with a double locking 6-digit combination. Woo! And then you click it, click, and it opens. And I am bad to the bone, baby, because I got a job. And I had a combination briefcase. You have to know the right sequence of the numbers to unlock the briefcase, to unlock the junior high locker. There is a divine combination in Psalm 100. Joyful shouting, singing, thanksgiving, and praise. Come on, somebody help me now. Let's get into yes! Woo-hoo! There's a little joyful shouting. Some singing. Thank you, Jesus. God, I'm not worthy, but you're worthy. Ow! Something like that. Thanksgiving. Thank you, God, for saving me. I didn't deserve it. Praise God. You're the only one worthy. You're the way maker, miracle worker, light in the darkness. My God, that's who you are. See, that's praise. That's thanksgiving. And you wonder why when you come to church, you feel the presence of God. It's because they're shouting and singing and joy and thanksgiving and praise. But guess what? Sunday morning, it's just dress rehearsal for the rest of the week. It's easy to do it when we're all in here together, and some of you don't even do it, but you feel what the rest of us are getting into, and you get a little splash on you or something. Listen to me. Joyful shouts, singing and thanksgiving, praise and thankfulness in our hearts. If you really think about it logically, there's a very simple combination to stepping into the presence of God. Don't you want to sense his presence every day of the week in every situation that you're in? I promise you, it always starts with gratitude. If you're not grateful, no shout's going to come out your mouth. If you're not grateful, no melody's going to be singing in your heart. If you're not grateful, you won't appreciate that my mic is popping and interrupting the message right now. If you don't have thanksgiving and praise flowing in your heart, you'll be married to Jesus, but you won't feel close to him. And I promise you, the day you surrendered your life to Jesus, you didn't plan on having a distant relationship with God. Could I just encourage you today? Step back into his presence. It begins with gratitude. It can unlock your destiny. Because once we learn how to enter the presence of God consistently, then he begins to direct our path, thus unlocking our God-given destiny in the kingdom of God. Colossians 2, verse 7 says, having been firmly rooted, now being built up in him and established in our faith, just as we were instructed, say it with me, and overflowing with gratitude. Can you do a word picture with me right quick? Have you ever seen on the news when the river's at flood stage? the water's busting out the banks. It's changing the whole atmosphere. Everywhere the water goes, it destroys things. It renews the face of the earth. It's destructive in that situation, right? But the overflow of the river makes a difference in the whole atmosphere. He's describing God through the Apostle Paul is saying to the church in Colossae, overflow with gratitude. Your gratitude should be like the river that's overflowing into every area of your life. Gratitude should get out of the banks and flow into your home, your work, your school, your church, yes, even your vacation. Thank you, God. I get to drive for 12 hours, stopping every 45 minutes because someone's got to go to the bathroom. Gratitude. Thank you, God. I actually have enough extra money this year to take my family somewhere. Thank you, God. I have a church that loves me, makes me feel like I'm somebody who matters. Thank you, God. I have a job. Thank you, God. I have a house. Thank you, God. I have a car. See how easy gratitude is? When it begins to overflow, changes everything around you. Colossians 3:16 says this, same book, different chapter, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to one another. Paul is writing this, listen, catch this, from prison. Are you with me? He's in jail, unjustly, falsely accused, put under house arrest. At least they gave him a pen so he could write, but he chooses in that terrible situation, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. I'm going to sing a hymn. I'm going to sing a song because he knows the power of singing hymns and songs. Do you remember the earthquake after a little worship service they had in jail one time? But he instructs the church, admonish one another. Oh, I'm up here teaching this today, but now it comes to you. Talk to one another. Tell each other, let's find something to be grateful for today. See what I was talking about at the very beginning of the service? If we take responsibility, we keep the church small so relationships can be built. We may reach a million people, but every individual connects because we admonish one another. We sing to one another. We thank God for each other. We lead each other. Are you with me, church? Come on. We've got a destiny to fulfill. We got to quit thinking about ourselves and poor me, I didn't get what I wanted, and just rise up every morning, look in the mirror and say, thank you, God. I look different than I did yesterday. More wrinkles, more gray hair, more bags under my eyes. I might be building an extra chin today, but thank you, God. Come on, man. There's always something to be thankful for. If I didn't have such a good, healthy diet, I wouldn't have a second chin. See, Paul in prison didn't let the circumstances change his gratitude. Instead of being overwhelmed with what's going on around us, we could choose to be overwhelmed with gratitude. Gratitude is something that we must cultivate into our hearts, or we're going to slip, we're going to lose our footing. Listen to me, you will lose heart and walk away from the faith. We've seen too many people do it. And I'm telling you where it started. They forgot to say thank you every day. And we begin to slide, and we begin to drift, and we begin to find ourselves in a place of dissatisfaction, disappointment, and frustration, when one little word phrase would change everything. Thank you, God. You put me here. You have a plan for me today. Even if I can't see it all today, thank you for the breath in my lungs. If you want to do well in this life, look at what he has done, not what he hasn't. Oh, come on, somebody, I'll take a screenshot of that. If you want to do well in this life, look at all that he's done, not what he hasn't. How is it that we focus on what we don't have when we have all of this? Thank you, Jesus. I have too many thoughts. Gratitude unlocks our destiny. We're going to wrap up right here. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts of praise. What if every day we stopped and stepped into the presence of the Almighty God? What if we stepped in by choosing thanksgiving in every circumstance, even the bad ones? What if we began to express our gratitude with words to the people around us? It's like that old guy who said, his wife said, well, he never even says he loves me anymore. He goes, I told you that on our wedding day. Just like your wife wants to hear, I love you. You're beautiful. You're the joy of my life every day. Our God wants to hear thank you every day. Come on, church. It ain't that hard. Can we do it? Can we change the atmosphere with two little words? Thank you. Thank you, children, for obeying me most of the time. Thank you, church, for allowing us to have such a wonderful environment where people are being saved, lives are being transformed. Thank you, friend, for reaching out to me on my worst day because somehow you knew I needed you today. Thank you. I can promise you this, the more we choose gratitude, the closer to God we will be. Gratitude's a lifestyle. You can choose to be grateful in every situation. Gratitude changes the way you see everything. Gratitude changes the way we respond to every circumstance. And biblical gratitude, you've got to hear this if you don't hear anything else. Biblical gratitude is not just positive thinking. Biblical gratitude is focused on one and one alone, Jesus Christ. I have a really good friend. And I noticed that he made up his own little song. He was so grateful for all the blessings in his life. This has been going on now for 24 years. Anytime you're around this person, you'll hear, some of you'll know when I say it, this little song. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That's Pastor Mark. He's been one of my mentors in being grateful. You know, just like Mark, just like me, just like you, nothing has been perfect in his life. But he's so grateful, he made up his own little song. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, try it with me. Thank you, Jesus. Do it again. Thank you, Jesus. How easy is that? I asked Mark if I could tell that story. I texted him because Mark and Kathy are away at a prayer retreat. And they're getting filled, so they can come and pour on all of us. I can't wait till they get home. But you know what he wrote back? Thank you for wanting to share my story. sometime within the last 3 years. I cannot remember exactly when. I was standing right over here. I just know it was once we got into this building. I was disappointed in some things. I was disheartened and dissatisfied. I wasn't telling anybody. I knew how to put on my happy church face. But God sent a friend of mine. He came and he got me and Julie right over here. He said, "I just feel like I need to pray for you today." And I'm like, "Sure, brother." You know, what do you say? You're the pastor. "No, leave me alone." I said, "Of course," and I meant it. I know when I'm down and out, that's what I really need. And he starts praying for me. And all of a sudden, in the middle of it, I remember this distinctly. He said, "Would you open your eyes and look at me?" I'm like, "Okay. What are you going to do?" He said, "God wants me to tell you, thank you. God says, Brad, Julie, thank you for staying here and making the choices you have made. And thank you, son, because now, because of the choices you've made, I can use you to bless many." Dude, at first I was like, theologically, do I believe that God could say thank you to me? But in that moment, it was so overwhelming. And as I was writing this sermon this week, I knew that God wants to tell some of you. Some of you have worked your backside off to provide for a family, and nobody says thank you. But God sees, and he says thank you. Some of you have labored in prayer to see other people fulfill their destiny, and they've never known. But God says, thank you. All of you have given your hearts to create an atmosphere that we call harvest. God says, thank you. Please stand. Gratitude unlocks the gate that takes you into the presence of God, thereby unlocking your destiny. I just want to tell you this. Almost 15, when Julie and I were going through the most difficult season of our life, sitting in children's ICU for 5 days, this church surrounded us and loved us. And in those moments, all I could say was, thank you, God. God, I don't like the circumstance I'm in, but thank you. And God had the audacity to tell me in that broken moment, you're going to lead people by the way you respond today. Brad, all you got to do is say thank you. It ain't that hard. I encourage you, I beseech you, I beg of you, learn these three words. Thank you, Jesus.